Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This program was brought to you by the Academy Opus Caseus, whose training programs bring cheese professionals to the next level.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, this is Diane Stemple, stopping by heritageradionetwork.org on a sunny Sunday afternoon, delivering my taped interviews from last Sunday's Vermont Cheesemaker Fest. It was a delightful afternoon. Please listen to bits and pieces of my interviews with the following: Mary Spicer of Grafton Village, Stephanie Skinner of Culture Magazine, Carlos Yeskis of Cheese Coalition, Peter Henry of Consider Bardwell Farm, Allison Hooper, amazing Vermont cheesemaker that she is from Vermont Creamery, and Jeremy Stevenson, current holder of Best in Shows trophy from last year's ACS for Tarente's Reserve.
Hi, this is Diane Stemple, reporting from the Vermont Cheesemaker Festival at Shelburne Farms. And I'm talking to Carlos Yeskis, and he is working for Old Ways Cheese of Choice Coalition, which, can you tell me the new name?
Yeah, so our new name is Old Ways Cheese Coalition, mm-hmm. And the reason why we are changing our name is because we're expanding our mission.
Okay.
So before we were focus mostly on raw milk cheeses.
Okay.
And now we are going to do other issues about traditional cheese as well.
Okay.
Wood board, aging, traditional rennets, cheese mite, ash. So a lot of other processes that are needed to make traditional cheese and that are being unduly under attack by health regulators. So we're trying to now reach out to a wider audience, teaching them about traditional cheeses in the many ways that exist, not just raw milk cheese.
Okay. American cheese or cheese in the whole world?
Cheese in the whole world.
Okay.
Our vision is that if you're eating better Gruyere, mm-hmm. or Parmigiano Reggiano, you're, mm-hmm. probably eating better American cheese as well, and okay. the other way around.
What would you be wanting to tell people at your post today?
So what we're here for is, one, to make consumers aware that a lot of the cheeses that they're going to be sampling today and that they're meeting the cheesemakers today are under attack.
Okay.
And to ensure that there is the whole conversation about what is happening in regulation that may threaten those cheeses that people, mm-hmm. are already finding interesting here or that they already love. So that's part of our
mission. So more for the consumer,
yes.
of the cheeses, because in the industry we know we're under attack,
exactly.
but the consumer may not know.
That's exactly right.
The
consumer doesn't really understand why we're under attack, and
right.
so once you explain the issues, mm-hmm. if you love your Tarentes or
right,
you
your favorite
love
cheese.
Some of these traditional cheeses from Vermont, you are then sort of like surprised that they're under attack for no
right.
apparent reason other
right.
than, you know, an overzealous regulatory agency.
Yeah, so this is an important educational outreach.
That's right.
To help the consumer know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And really the coalition is a coalition of consumers.
Right.
we partner with cheesemakers and we partner with retailers, but really our consumer, it's really the consumers that are our focus of our work. Both so that they have more information and knowledge about the health and the health benefits of traditional cheese, that they have information about the scientific benefits of it as well, but also that they make a connection between cheese makers and themselves. You know, a lot of times, because there's so much information out there, some consumers, if a producer tells them, oh, you know, raw milk is very good, consumers may not believe them 100%, you know, because you're trying to sell them a product.
Or understand what that means about quality.
Exactly. And so what we're trying to be is the third party, sort of uninterested if you buy this one cheese or that other cheese.
Right.
But what we really want is that you, that you're getting raw milk cheese, or that you're getting cheese that has been aged in a traditional method, and that you have that information. And so consumers, what we've been getting as feedback is that this is exactly the information that we want, and we want someone else to tell us what is the benefit. For a cheesemaker, it's also beneficial because sometimes, you know, if you're taking care of your animals and you're also making cheese and you're going making out sales calls and, you know, that sort of thing, it's actually very difficult to come up with this research and putting it out there. So we're trying to definitely help consumers and producers at the same time, just trying to
publicize issues.
Yeah.
This is Diane Stemple from Cutting the Curd at the Vermont Cheesemaker Fest 2015, interviewing Stephanie Skinner, one of the
founders
and editors of,
publisher
of Culture Magazine, a magazine we all know and love on Cutting the Curd. It's so great that you invented it because it needed to happen. It needed to happen. I remember your first centerfold and saying, this is what cheese needed, a centerfold. It's really the greatest. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, how many times have you been to the Vermont Cheesemaker Fest?
I believe that this is, I think, our eighth year. This is, they're 8 years old, right? So we've been here since the very beginning.
Okay, great.
Actually, because I believe that the festival actually started with the impetus coming from Vermont Creamery. And we know the folks, obviously, at Vermont Creamery very well, and so we
joined in.
So
right
we
away.
Joined in right away, and it's been what an amazing explosion!
I
remember
know.
When it was just one little tiny thing with a with sort of an entrance tent, and now it's, you know, what, four tents, something like that.
Right,
crazy.
It's gotten a lot bigger, as has American cheese. When did Culture start?
We started in December of 2008, so we are in the middle of our seventh year, is that right? Yeah. So we're going to be six or seven, I can never remember.
Okay. And were you instrumental ever in the organizing of the Cheesemaker Fest?
No, not the festival. We were busy trying to get our act together on the magazine.
Okay.
Which we make it look effortless, I understand that, but it turns out that it's...
It was not.
It never is.
Has it gotten more effortless?
Yes, a little. We now have a... Our staff has grown and professionalized, which is important. You know, when you first start out, really the only person that was really
full-time.
A publishing person, actually the only person that was, I mean, we had full-time people, but the only person who actually knew the business of publishing was me.
Okay.
And since then, we've expanded. We have a new editor-in-chief, Courtney Hollins, and she came from Boston Magazine and Boston Globe, so we have some professional folks. And now that Lasse is heavily involved, we're also launching events.
Okay. And what did you do before Culture?
I've been in publishing since the dawn of time.
Okay.
I think
you
I was
so
there
young.
Like when the
you
Bible
so
was,
young.
You know, no, yes, exactly. No, I was, at the time I was actually working for, when we first conceived of it, I was working for George Lucas, he had a magazine for his education foundation. And so I was spending a lot of time out on the West Coast, and Lasse and her friend Kate Arding were working on setting up Oxbow Cheese Market out there, and at one evening... after some glasses of wine.
I was going to say, I bet alcohol was involved. You cooked up this idea.
We cooked up this crazy idea. And then...
Did the name culture come right away?
No.
No.
No, we actually did a whole series of brainstorming events with people and cast about for ideas. And then... And we actually almost called it Curd.
I was going to say, did you have a runner-up?
There were two runners-up. Cheese Toast, which is actually the name of our company.
Okay.
Holding company. When I say holding, it's not holding much, but anyway.
Right,
but the holding company that is Cheese Toast. And then Curd. And we decided that Curd was too insider.
Yeah.
And
it rhymes with nerd.
Yeah. And turd. And we don't need to remind people of those kinds of things when they're...
Right.
Anyway. And then Cheese Toast was too sort of, you know, left field.
Yeah.
So, actually, a friend of Lass's whose name I've forgotten because I'm pathetic, suggested culture, and it's any
excellent
great idea. It was like this bolt out of the, you know.
You all, like, loved it immediately.
Yes, and we were like, my God, that's, of course, yes.
Uh-huh.
And then our editor at the time, Elaine Kosarova, who was the, she was actually not the founding editor, she was the second editor, but...
I believe I met her in Vermont.
Yes, probably. Mm-hmm. She came up with the tagline, which is the word on cheese.
Okay.
So...
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... by coming to Vermont Cheesemaker, what do you, as a magazine publisher, hope to accomplish?
Mostly we're looking for new, you know, cheeses to write about.
Okay.
Interesting new trends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I'm fascinated by some of the, I don't know if you've noticed it, the bee, the that paper it's actually a replacement for plastic wrap that's right over there.
Okay.
Bee wrap is what it's called.
Okay.
Like, that's the kind of thing that you will never see wandering around at a fancy food show.
Right.
So at the fancy food show,
it's so intense.
Overwhelming.
Right.
And it's
right.
so expensive to be there that the really small guys don't get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to come here and
check out the small guys.
Especially because they're just like our northern neighbor.
Right.
So it's nice to see what's happening.
Now I'm wondering, how has the percentage of coverage changed in the magazine from the beginning till now in terms of American cheese?
Mm.
It's boomed.
Mm-hmm.
So are you covering it a lot more because European, you know, is farther away and harder to cover, or?
Well, we always have a focus on American cheese.
Uh-huh.
It's always been that way. But I would actually say that we have, because we now have 6 issues a year, we actually have a broader coverage of European cheeses, but not in necessarily in percentage, meaning we just are able to cover more European
You've
cheeses. We've added 2 issues. Yeah, 2 special issues.
Okay.
So
is one of them the ACS?
Yes, yeah, so it started as the ACS, but now we actually cover cheese, I think 7 cheese contests and the winners of all of those.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we have the British Cheese Awards and the World Cheese Award, Cheese Championship or whatever, they all have the same names. Yeah. So we cover all of those, the winners of those kinds of things, and especially when there are cheeses that win at all of them, you know, there's sort of an interesting group that keeps sort of rising to the top.
Now, when was the first year that you combined that?
That would have been in 2013,
okay.
I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the ACS issue was an insert in the winter issue for a couple of years, and it just got so big that we couldn't contain it in that.
Well, even just listing the winners, there's so many winners in so many categories.
Right, and we don't do that now. We just do the winners of the categories, and then online we have the full listings.
Okay. What are the best parts of a festival like this for you?
Well, at seeing old friends, too. It really is nice.
Because
now it's such a great industry, congenial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, people come from far and wide. This particular one, this has been really interesting because a lot of people that I don't necessarily see, I never see them any other time, but they're coming from Canada. There's a lot of Canadians here.
Nice.
And so bump into them here, and really I'm not going to see them any other time.
Uh-huh, because they don't come to ACS.
They don't come to ACS because their cheeses can't come to the United States.
Ah.
So there's really hardly any reason.
And this is closer.
And
this
is closer.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's, and then the other fun thing, I guess, is that it's, you know, It's in rather a beautiful location, let's face it.
And amazingly, for Cutting the Curd listeners, it was pouring rain at 9:30. It was a dismal forecast, yeah. And we're sitting in the shade on a sunny day that's almost too hot, but not quite.
And looking out over Lake Champlain.
Right.
Blowing our minds.
Okay. What do you think are the big issues for cheesemakers this year, coming into ACS, in your magazine? What do you think is going on the cheese scene? Good and bad.
Good and bad.
Political and
not. I would say on the interesting side, having been to the California Artisan Cheese Festival, and I saw a wave of sheep milk cheeses showing up. So
okay.
I think there's more of that coming. You've got some interesting all over the country. You've got sheep milk. I know there's not a lot yet, mm-hmm. but there's more than there were. Let's just put it like that. I would say there's been such a boom in the specialty food market over the last couple of years. In fact, almost a 20% increase in retail sales for specialty food, according to the Specialty Food Association's report that they do every year, that I think that the American cheesemakers are probably targets for European buyers, and I think they're probably feeling that, you know, they've grown up, that they've been really on the scene now, and so that comes with good and bad, and so that's my quick assessment of what's probably going to happen. More of the problems with, you know, again, professionalizing, you know, bigger industry, bigger problems, as they say.
Right.
So that. Things like the safety.
Right.
We don't know enough about that.
Does the magazine do anything on the FDA issues, or do you keep out of that?
No, we do cover it. We actually have done, we've covered it from the perspective of not just for cheesemakers, but also for, you know, how it affects in stores and stuff like that, too. So, I'm casting about remembering last time we did an article on it, but we actually, because Courtney is on board, we are looking at doing some more, I guess I would say hard journalistic stuff like that. But
great.
It's we're a consumer magazine, so it can't, I think, you know.
It can't get too technical.
It can't get, and we have to remember that what's in it for the reader, because we're an entertaining publication.
Right.
We're not there to,
And bore. Beautiful.
Thank you. We try to be.
Okay. Hi, this is Diane Stemple, live from the Vermont Cheese Festival 2015, talking to Mary Spicer of Grafton Village Cheese. Welcome, Mary.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm delighted to be here. I can't believe the sun's shining, and it's great to talk to you.
This is such a fabulous sight, and we're excited with the amount of people that are milling around just enjoying the cheese today.
Do you know how many people come?
Well, there's probably about 2,000 people on site, including the vendors and the volunteers. And we do have to cap the attendance because of the restrictions of the site. And it did sell out this year.
It sells out
pretty much every
year.
Yeah,
I think I've tried to get in before and did not succeed.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. And this is the primary funding mechanism for the Vermont Cheese Council.
Oh, what they make today is their budget.
Is some of their budget. I mean, we do get some grants and the membership fees, but this is the biggest chunk of the funding for the Cheese Council.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now in our second year of having a full-time executive director, which helps so much.
Mm-hmm.
And
who is that?
And that's Tom Bivens.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former chef.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome, and it's been great having a full-time person sort of managing the business and the efforts of the Cheese Council, and if it wasn't for this festival, we wouldn't be able to have that person.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Now, how many years have you participated from the start?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely, and Grafton Village Cheese is a sponsor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And always has been.
And always has been.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you instrumental in organizing it the first year?
Personally, no, but Grafton Village Cheese was instrumental.
Okay.
At the time, Wendy Brewer, who's with our organization, was one of the committee members in the beginning.
Okay. Now, since you're an old-timer, can you tell us how it's grown and changed?
Well, I'm not sure if I want to be called an old-timer. I don't know how I take it.
Okay,
but,
7 years old-time.
Yeah, it has grown. Mm-hmm. We can say that. We've been able to add several hundred in attendance, but again, we do have a cap.
Okay.
So we can't grow much more than this.
So the additional tents don't give you more...
No, it gave us more breathing room, really.
Okay.
Some of the feedback we had gotten was that it gets a little congested,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for the guests to get to the tables, and sometimes it gets hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did... It did allow us to add a little bit, but it mostly gave us breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important, because we want a positive experience.
Right. Is the... limit for cars?
I can't answer that exactly. The limit is in people in attendance at this site at Shelburne Farms.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see. Yeah,
okay.
That's as much
so
as
so how else has it changed through the years?
Well, the Vermont Cheese Council has changed over the years. We just got our 50th member, which is a milestone, because when the Cheese Council started, I want to say there were, you know, maybe a dozen, 14, something like that.
Cheesemaker.
Yeah, members that, uh-huh. that started a Cheese
now,
Council.
Now, is that all the cheesemakers in Vermont, or is that just who want to sign up for the council?
I would say that's the majority. I mean, that's almost mm-hmm. all the cheese. There's
okay.
probably a couple of teeny ones out there that haven't joined yet. But that's the majority mm-hmm. of them. And
it's a tiny state.
It's
so
a
that's
little
amazing.
State. And so to get to having 50 members who are, you know, active paying members in the Vermont Cheese Council is just so exciting. It's fabulous. And, you know, we're an influential state when it comes to cheese making. We're just not large.
Right.
So.
Do you have an idea of the percentage of cow? Is it 80% cow? And
I wish you had asked me to figure that out ahead of time, because, no, I don't know that off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I would say the majority is cow, and then next would be goat, and then there's a few
tiny bit of sheep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a great get-together for everyone.
How could it not be in this beautiful setting
right.
with the mountains and the lake and the green grass and the, you know, the pastures here and the beautiful tents, and everybody who comes is into cheese
and is excited to be here.
So we think that it's just an exciting opportunity for us to tell our story, to get our cheese sampled.
Mm-hmm.
People go home with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You bond with the people that come,
mm-hmm.
and you make customers for life.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that most of the people are from Vermont, or do a lot of people come up?
Oh, no. The majority of the people are from out of state.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, there are busloads of people that come from out of state.
That's great.
Yeah. Some cheese shops send busloads, and then I know I've spoken to people from the Midwest, from Florida. You know, this may not be the only reason why they came to Vermont, but it's
uh-huh.
one of the reasons they've come to Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's 60 or 70% are from out of state.
So you're really meeting new customers and getting
yes.
to know them and feeding them your cheese.
Absolutely.
So that's great
that's
for
fabulous.
Everyone.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What's the best part of the day for you?
Well, you know, interestingly, the cheese making community, especially in Vermont, is very tight. We're
mm-hmm.
all very close. But usually we only see each other at events. And
mm-hmm.
so it's really nice to see everybody
mm-hmm.
and chat. So for me personally, I love to just see all the other cheesemakers.
Oh, great.
Right? But, you know, it's also nice to come to this fabulous
mm-hmm.
place and see all the enthusiasm around our products.
Mm-hmm. And now in a couple of weeks is ACS in Providence.
So exciting that it's on the East Coast.
Right.
Yes.
So you can just buzz right down there and do some more cheese partying.
Yes, exactly. We need to eat a lot of vegetables between now and then.
Right. Now, because Rhode Island is not exactly a big cheese state, because it's not a big state, is Vermont partially feeling like they're hosting in Providence?
The Vermont Cheese Council is the marquee sponsor
okay.
for this year's ACS.
And that's bigger than usual.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's because we're the largest guild closest to Providence.
Right.
Let me say that on our own, the Cheese Council does not have the funding to do that kind of sponsorship, but we got a lot of help from the state of Vermont.
Oh, good.
So they were very much interested in participating in
did
the sponsorship.
Did you get grants?
Yes,
or?
We did.
Oh,
yep.
Nice.
And a lot of logistical help. And
mm-hmm.
So it's been...
Because it's good for them to promote Vermont cheese
exactly.
so close to home.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we have so many visitors before and after ACS, coming to tour, to make cheese with us, to just see the facilities. And I know a lot of other cheesemakers in Vermont do also, so it gives us the opportunity not only to see them close to home in Providence, but to actually get them to our facilities.
Right.
And that's really exciting.
Right. And you and Grafton are much closer. Yeah. Being at the southern end, you're much closer than some of the other guys.
It's only about 3 hours, if that.
Yeah.
And we have a full complement of guests coming for the next 2 weeks, really.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I feel like as soon as Fancy Food Show comes, it's cheese summer, and it's like the high season.
It is.
And it's sometimes too close together. It's like boom, boom, boom.
I know, and it's hard to decide if you can go to everything or not. And this year was it? We had a lot of discussion about whether or not the Cheesemakers Festival should be the week before ACS or the same week as ACS, or you know what would be better for the people going to ACS. What would be better for the cheesemakers? And it's hard to it was hard to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. Some of my friends said, "Oh, I'm not going to Vermont because it's the weekend before." And I said, "No. There's a weekend in between. You can rest.
I know it's hard. Traveling is hard. So.
And it's also a lot of socializing and eating and drinking.
Shucks.
It's hard work.
Yes.
Someone has to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So what do you see this year as major issues at ACS in Providence? What do you think is going to be talked about?
Well, I think there are a couple. I mean, there's the continuing discussion with FDA, which is exciting in that these lines of communication are really opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting, and we're looking forward to seeing how that relationship progresses.
Will this be the second year that FDA is coming?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was very exciting to have them come last year. Obviously, they came because there was the controversy over the wooden boards. But the result of that, there were a couple of positive effects over that whole controversy. One was that the cheese community really gelled, and the guilds worked with their members, and the guilds worked with ACS, and ACS got behind everything. And
it really seemed like a very united and quick response.
Yes, and all we're asking is that, I mean, we all have the same interest in mind. We want to ensure the safety of our products for our consumers. Everyone wants that. We just want...
And we want to sell delicious cheese.
Well, of course. but we want the decisions and the regulations that are coming from the government, from FDA, to be based in science. And we know our processes and our procedures better than they do, quite frankly. And so we need to have those lines of communication open so that they can understand what we do and why we do certain things certain ways. And so last year was that sort of opening salvo to get those lines of communication open. And I think ACS has been doing a wonderful job in keeping that going. They've been having a lot of meetings, a lot of discussions, and then this year will be interesting to see how that progresses.
And it'll be nice, too, because it's a little less adversarial after the first year. It feels like, okay, now we're learning from each other and we're trying to move forward.
None of us feel as though FDA is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel that. Like I said, we all want the same thing, which is ensuring the safety of our products. Again, we just want it to be logical.
Right, right. This is Diane Stemple from Cutting the Curd at the Vermont Cheesemaker Festival, interviewing Allison Hooper from Vermont Creamery. What do you think are the current issues for Vermont cheesemakers?
Well, you know, some of us met the other day about working towards getting non-GMO verified for our cheese and our milk supply. For some of us, it's less complicated than others, but we have been able to source non-GMO grain, and our goat dairy, Ayersbrook Goat Dairy, will start buying this grain soon and start the process of getting verification.
Makes your goats non-GMO.
We have to grow, right. So
our crops
are all non-GMO. And so fortunately, we don't have GMO corn or alfalfa. So that's not a problem for us. But what we'll need to do is for some of our other producers, some of whom are feeding silage that they get from a neighboring dairy farm, we'll have to get them transitioned to
popular.
to non-GMO. So it's exciting. I think it's daunting to try to unwind this food supply, but I think those of us in Vermont, we really want to be part of the new food system. We really want to work together. And, you know, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit. We have an awful lot of clout, both in-state and nationally. While we may not be utilizing enormous amounts of milk, we certainly contribute to the economy and the brand. The Vermont brand is very strong with the cheesemakers. And, you know, I think we're just highly principled people in general. I mean,
I think that's true. You're fairly unified in your principles up here, that matters.
Yeah, people want to do the right thing. They want to do right by the land, by our customers who care about these things. They really care. And to the extent that, you know, we won't let that desire by the consumers that, you know, for whom this is very important, we won't be dismissed by that. You know, this is going to be, while it may seem kind of obscure today, you know, 5-10 years from now, this is going to be a big deal. People are really going to be looking for these products because
that's the direction
they
things
have integrity.
Are going in.
That's right. People are done. People are sick of all the pesticides and all the junk that we're putting on food, and you know, especially the our millennials that just care about this stuff.
Okay. Now, I assume you're going to Providence in 2 weeks.
I am.
What are you looking forward to in Providence? And are Vermont Cheesemakers sort of one of the hosts?
Yeah, Vermont Cheesemakers are going to be busy. We are going to have a gathering at the Trinity Brew House for the pub crawl.
Okay.
And I think we are sponsoring an opening reception, which is on Thursday night. And we're going to have a pancake breakfast with Vermont maple, the real Vermont maple syrup.
Oh, great.
So that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, because are there any cheesemakers in Rhode Island?
There are some cheesemakers in Rhode Island.
But it's not a big...
Narragansett Creamery, Shy Brothers Farm is in Westport.
But it's not a big enough group that can...
It's not a big group. Yeah. It's a
tiny state.
Industry, and Rhode Island is one of my favorite states. I absolutely love it.
Providence?
To the beach there.
Oh, okay.
And Providence is a wonderful little city. It's almost like a big town. And there are lots of college students there. And I'm going to be bringing a pickup truck full of bicycles, and we're going to rent an Airbnb and ride to the conference and grab some of my pals who love to cycle, and we'll go down and ride.
Oh,
down
you always like doing that before
so
or
ride,
after?
Ride.
Okay.
During, probably. You know.
Going to Newport?
I don't know whether I'll go to Newport.
Okay,
yeah, Newport's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Newport is interesting, but we like to go to Watch Hill and Little Compton and. Yeah, Rhode Island is a really wonderful place.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
So you're looking forward to it.
And because the conference is in Providence, we have a lot of our customers coming to visit in Vermont. So,
afterwards
or
before.
I'm a busy hostess for a number of days before and after.
And it does seem more and more cheesemakers, part of the job is welcoming people and showing them around and showing them what's going on at the farm.
Showing them what's going on. Everybody wants to visit the farm. Yeah. I mean, it's really...
And they really do. I mean, it's really sincere.
They really do. And I'm just so glad that we bought this farm 3 years ago and decided to bid up a dairy and, you know, start to transition others to milk goats and develop good genetics and... Yeah, it's really, you know, for me, that's really where it's at. You know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we were all trying to figure out how to make cheese. And now we're trying to figure out how to make our cheeses an expression of Vermont, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. And really, really teach not only our trade customers but consumers about this is where the food comes from. And when your customers step on the farm and they see the level of care and complexity mm-hmm. involved in running a, you know, a viable dairy, mm-hmm. it's impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really have a huge appreciation for the value of what they're buying, and mm-hmm. we have to do that. We mm-hmm. cannot minimize that. You know, when our trade customers, you know, what's discouraging for us is we go into the market and we talk to buyers, and some of these buyers, they've never been to a farm. Mm-hmm. They don't know how cheese is made. They've never been into an aging room that's got, you know, 1,500 cheeses in it. And all the cheeses need to be handled and, you know, mm-hmm. turned. And you know, that's not their fault. But our job is to get them here mm-hmm. and get them understanding what's behind.
So they know what they're selling, they know what they're buying, they know what the value is.
Yeah, and they see understand. It. They understand mm-hmm. that, you know, then they think, why is this so expensive? Well, come visit and mm-hmm. you will see. Mm-hmm. It's not expensive, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much
yes.
for talking to
good
me.
Good for you.
Hi, this is Diane Stemple from Cutting the Curd, heritageradionetwork.org, talking to Peter Henry from Consider Bardwell Farm at the Vermont Cheesemaker Festival 2015. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Diana. How are you?
Good, good.
It's a whole new world to step into. Like, having
yes.
no real solid background in cheese except
right.
as an eater.
Right.
To walk into this in the last couple years has been pretty remarkable.
Well, cheese professionals are this small crew of fanatics, and
yeah.
now you're seeing cheese customers is a larger but still fairly small group of cheese fanatics.
Sure, yeah, there's a distinct line. Everyone should be totally welcome and comfortable just eating a cheese and not knowing too much about it.
Right.
That's people apologize for not remembering the names of our
right.
cheeses, and I say,
right.
like, for the love of God, don't. Just,
right.
like, yeah, if you have...
Well, you want to remember it if you want to eat it again. That's
I'm okay with
problem.
That. Yeah, exactly. Like, I want them to remember us. I don't need to be a household brand. I just need to be the cheese that they, you know.
Right,
and
right.
they can taste through it all again.
Uh-huh.
But that said, it's still great when people do. Yeah, it's
yeah.
it's good when people are doing the due diligence, and you just can't be so overcommitted to every different
right.
style of food,
right.
too.
Well, you were working for Consider Bardwell and doing farmers markets, so you only have your set cheeses.
Oh, yeah.
When I worked at Murray's, people would come and say, well, what did you feed me last time?
Yeah,
and,
great.
Well,
yeah, thanks a lot.
3 months ago, I don't think I
Let's
remember.
Started,
you know,
you know.
What color was it?
Let's do alphabetical order and work the way down. Yeah, I get to kind of be a half cheesemonger because
right.
I'm responsible for...
Right, you can focus in on what you think they like.
I get to pretend that the only cheeses that exist in the world are considered
uh-huh,
Bardwell cheeses.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, you know, sardonically
right,
get to
right.
be over-boisterous about the glory of Consider Bardwell. But.
So what did you think you might accomplish today? What were you... when you were looking forward to this?
I wanted to reconnect with other people that we've worked with in the past, other people
mm-hmm.
I've seen at, like, the Cheesemonger Invitational,
mm-hmm.
at a fancy food show.
Mm-hmm. Did you compete this year?
I didn't, no. I am far from competing.
Uh-huh.
I volunteered and ate and drank,
mm-hmm.
and that was a struggle enough for me. But someday maybe I'll compete.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
I have to get my kind of, like, you know, my creative juices
right.
flowing for
right.
that. But
what do you feel are the big issues in Vermont, cheese-wise?
I mean, the most recent issue that I've been at least thinking a lot about is GMO labeling, and that's Vermont's one of the states that's kind of gone forward on that. We're working on that right now. I mean, we don't have... A bunch of larger creameries, medium to larger creameries in Vermont, are kind of banding together to try to have the buying power to bring in non-GMO grain at a reasonable price and try to fight that price down.
Okay.
Because it's doable. It's just doable... in a way that logistically is tough.
If you get organized and try to do it.
Yeah, and the price is what it is. Hopefully mm-hmm. it gets lower, but, I mean, mm-hmm. whether or not it's just where we have to go, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's at a time where at least if you're going to get on the bandwagon, you're not behind. You're going to still pick up sales from people who are noticing
who
that is important.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're there with it. We're spending more money on it, but it's going to come back to us with people mm-hmm. who are concerned about that. Mm-hmm. And raw milk is always an issue in Vermont.
Right.
I mean, there
are
smaller farmers who are trying to sell more openly and widely on a small scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be risky because,
right.
you know, it took us a lot of cleanliness and a lot of careful HACCP
procedures
really to get our milk, raw milk cheeses out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it'd be risky if somebody just not having really much of a background in that just kind of like went willy-nilly and,
right.
and ruined
right.
the whole show for everybody.
Right. But, right. And are you looking forward to Providence?
I'm going to have a great time. I can't wait. I'm not.
Will this be your first ACS?
This is my first ACS,
too, yeah.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
I was with the company, but I was a little green to, you know, merit a plane ticket to California last year.
Right, but now Providence is a
great.
Hop, skip,
yeah,
and a jump.
I know. A lot of great food in Providence. I'm going to Front Street for dinner with the farm at some point. That's
uh-huh.
going to be great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I'm going to get out of there before the big... What's the big thing at the end where they just...
Festival of Cheese.
It sounds terrifying to me.
No,
I don't think I don't
oh,
know.
We're looking for volunteers for the Festival of Cheese.
It sounds terrifying. Or maybe I'll give it a try, yeah. I'll check it out. I mean, I work Union Square every Monday and Friday, and that feels like a festival. It's just a swarm of people.
Well, do you have you seen pictures of the festival?
I haven't, actually, no.
Okay.
I'm just... goofing around.
It's, you know, it's, well, if there's 1,700 cheeses in the competition, but then a bunch of them are sent to the breakfast now,
sure.
so it's a little bit under,
okay.
so maybe it's 1,400 cheeses have to be prepped and displayed for 1,000 people to eat them at a cocktail party.
That alone does sound pretty impressive to me. I'm,
it's quite a, it actually, it might be easier to, your first time, volunteer that day and not go to the cocktail party. Because then you can see it unfold and
sure.
help and see the craziness.
No.
And then you can go home.
I'm always impressed by any effort to feed masses of people without stampeding. And I joke about that, but I have a lot of fun.
There's a little stampeding around the winners.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that's good. They deserve it to some extent.
And then they run out.
Yeah,
exactly. They run out of winners. Now,
they get
one
to go home
year,
early.
When Jasper Hill won,
uh-huh.
Vince Razzanelli had to drive from back to Vermont and get some Winnemere to drive it back to Wisconsin to serve it at the Festival of Cheese.
For the Festival of Cheese?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I guess
that's
got to be a pretty fun drive, though. You got to, like, tell at every gas station, like, I'm going to get
it's a fun story to tell, yes, forever.
How long of a drive would that be? That's
long.
I'm sure. Vermont to Wisconsin is not
But
easy.
There was not enough for the festival, and if you're best in show, you need some cheese.
Yeah. I think that happened with Rupert when we came in third and we had like 8 wheels of it in existence.
That's tough when a smaller cheesemaker wins.
Right, yeah,
It's inundated with orders and you can't cover it.
No, because you never just have...
Right. You don't have that particular one sitting around either.
You can't just go in the kitchen and make a wheel of Alpha Tolman, you know.
You've
got to be a little patient.
Anyway, well, thank you very much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.
It's been delightful to talk to you.
The Academy Opus Caseus is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering training for cheese professionals ready to move their careers to the next level. The Academy is the only professional cheese school integrating hands-on practice, formal instruction, and curriculum-related visits in every course. The Academy's core courses for mongers and affineurs are offered at the Mons facilities in France, and abridged courses are offered in Vermont, California, and London. A structured discipline of sensory analysis is practiced daily. The Academy has been recognized by the American Cheese Society as an approved education center for those preparing for the Certified Cheese Professional Exam. Here's a reading of a quote from Kevin Palmaccio, a graduate of the program.
The balance of time is what sets essential foundations apart from other educational opportunities. While the classroom is important, spending time at the goat farm and working alongside the Mons staff immersed us in real work and taught me real skills I've already applied in my career. As a relative newcomer to the cheese business, daily concentration on sensory analysis was paramount. As a cheesemonger, I'm now in a better position to familiarize myself with a wide range of products and sell with more confidence.
For more information and to apply for courses, visit their website at academy-mons.com. That's academie-mons.com.
My last interview of the day was with Jeremy Stevenson, cheesemaker of 2014 Best in Show Tarente's Reserved. And Jeremy's pretty reserved as well, as you'll see.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
And he is the proud reigning champion of the American Cheese Society's Best in Show for Tarente's.
Reserved.
And you are soon to give up your crown.
Yeah, well, I expect so. I definitely don't expect that.
You're not going for two years in a row?
We're going for it, but whether or not we get it, it's another story.
Anyway, so here we are at this lovely cheese festival. How many years have you participated in the cheese festival?
I must have been here for 6 years at least.
Since it started?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it 6 years old?
You know, some people say six,
some people say seven,
and yeah. Some people say eight.
Well, let's find out about that.
Okay, I think I heard seven.
Okay, I'm going with that.
Okay, so you were here from the start.
Yes.
And were you instrumental in organizing it?
No, I was not. I think that came about on the Cheese Council and with the help of Allison Hooper, right?
Right.
And you must have that story.
Yes.
So I think they were doing their... a big anniversary for Vermont Butter and Cheese at the time, and
right.
and she approached the Cheese Council, as I remember it.
I think she created the Cheese Council.
Well, she was on the Cheese Council early days, along with a few other people. Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, she started it.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese Council.
Mm-hmm. So, how would you say the festival has grown and changed through the years?
Well, I mean, growth is limited, as we were talking earlier, to the number of people you're allowed to have on this site. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a spectacular, gorgeous setting. And as my understanding is, we can only sell 1,600 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always sold, almost all of those, if not sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of that, I wouldn't say there have been big changes, but I think the way that number of people has been managed has been improved, and there's a really dedicated committee. Every some of those folks have been on that committee every year since
mm-hmm.
we started.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the Cheese Council, the festival committee that has each year takes comments, takes feedback, takes a look at the overall operational aspects of the show, and they make
mm-hmm.
sure that if there's anything that they could do to improve it, they try it the
mm-hmm.
following year. So,
and this year has a big extra tent.
Yeah, which has spaced people out a lot.
Yeah.
I think the back
yes,
is a lot less crowded.
It's a lot less
sweaty. Yeah, it's really nice back there, more airy.
Yeah, if it had rained, which it was supposed to, it would have been bad, but not as bad with the nice tents.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, in an aging room, we notice a change in the temperature when you get a few people in there. This back area, when you crowd hundreds of people on a 90-degree day, it becomes unbearable.
What I noticed,
that's been improved.
Is in the left-hand room, the floor is wet. And I don't know, is it sweat?
It could be.
I had to walk very carefully through that room.
This, you know, the weather has just... This is classic cheese festival weather, you know, hot and humid. It's what we like, man. We get 6 months of
yes.
cold up here. We like it.
You like hot weather. Okay.
Well, yeah, it's not here all the time.
We from New York, we think we're coming for a weekend in the Vermont hills, and it should be 15 degrees cooler.
Yeah. Well, probably is, though.
New York
could be cooking today.
That's true. So what do you, for a day at the festival, what do you hope to accomplish for Springbrook, for your cheese, for yourself?
We just want to be part of the whole thing, you know, and be a little piece of that energy.
There are so many customers coming through that some of them already buy our cheeses, but they really like to meet people connected directly with those cheeses and talk to us, and maybe they got a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, and then you have people coming through that have never experienced this variety of cheese before.
Right.
And so
the consumer.
So I think we just, in general, it's consumer outreach, getting to know all the, you know, some of the customers that support us.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a wheel of cheese or 100 wheels of cheese and you divide those wheels into wedges and you start thinking about how many customers you actually have in the world, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just do the math. And
right.
Then, of course, you hope for repeat customers.
And you want to keep them. You want them to love your cheese and keep buying it.
Yeah, but I think there are so many folks out there that support all of us cheesemakers buying our cheese. It's great to be able to see just a small number of them at least directly. And this is a pretty efficient way to do it. Plus, we get to network with each other, get to see each other, cheesemaker
I like
friends.
that first circle has a lot of people I know in it. So all the cheesemakers are behind the booths and just hanging out and talking.
Yeah, and I think the first tent has predominantly sponsors.
Oh, okay.
Or board members, maybe somewhat more established cheese companies.
And then everybody knows each other from way back.
Yeah, but it's definitely a mistake to miss the other areas because there are so many amazing
products.
Vermont cheeses.
Well, cheeses and products. It seems like there's a lot more liquor.
There's a lot of booze here, yeah.
Is booze booming in Vermont?
Apparently.
Gin, vodka.
Yep. And it's always been a little bit of work done with the wine organization, the sort of the sister organization for the cheese council. The winemakers have always been part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beer. The beer's here.
The beer's
and
come
in. And the spirits.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine wine is the oldest, and now spirits and beer are coming in.
Yeah, spirits, they seem to be coming on strong.
Yeah.
A lot of.
Yeah. Okay, so now what do you feel are big issues for cheesemakers in Vermont these days?
Well, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record.
But
I think what's got to be our biggest industry challenge is food safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties to, look, somebody else is looking at that texture.
Right.
What it is. Food safety.
I wonder if that's solid or if it's a different ear.
I think it's solid.
I mean, is it solid or did you put that out?
Yeah. So, excuse me.
There's solid.
A passerby is interrupting us.
Where?
About the side of the barn.
So, I think food safety, but really in the context of our, many of us sell cheese nationally, and our distributors and the retailers out there with coverage all over the country are asking for higher standards.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all being asked for third-party audits.
Uh-huh.
We are all being asked to present our HACCP plans and explain what we're doing to make sure our food is safe. So, yeah, I think that's just a massive change. Just in the 8 years that I've been involved with Springbrook, it's really, really changed. I would say large part it's driven by FSMA and the FDA, but really what I see anyway is that my customers are coming to me, to our organization, asking for verification that we have a food safety plan and that we're on the ball.
Yeah, what you're doing.
They're driving it.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
To me. I mean, that's the way it looks to me.
Okay.
We're being required. If we want to do business with them, you know, that's what we need to do. I think that's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a lot of extra work. We are expected to...
And money.
And money, because we have, we are expected to meet the same standards that Kraft Foods would. It's just that each individual company has significantly less resources than Kraft Foods.
Right.
So we're all up against that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us feel it.
And if you've got animals in real milk, that's a whole other layer that has to be supervised.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody can argue that we shouldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, it should be done. We should make sure our food's safe. We need to mm-hmm. do everything we can to make sure that a customer never gets sick mm-hmm. as a result of eating our products.
So are you looking forward to Providence?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you feel like Vermont is partially hosting Providence because Rhode Island is such a small state?
Well, I know that the Cheese Council took a special interest in mm-hmm. Providence mm-hmm. because, yeah. you know, the likelihood of ACS being so close where so many of us can drive
right.
to it. And, you know, I know Springbrook, we're going to bring a lot of our staff down there mm-hmm. because of the proximity. It costs
right.
a lot of money to get people on planes and
right.
fly them across the country. But
or they can go for 2 days and come back. You
yeah.
know, and
yeah, exactly. You can
forth.
Duck. You
yeah.
can you can duck in and out. You
yeah.
can be there for one day. And
yeah.
yeah. So that's going to be really fun. A mm-hmm. lot of, I know a lot of my folks are going to be there, but mm-hmm. also, yeah, the Cheese Council's taken a lot of interest in mm-hmm. sponsoring events, mm-hmm. and I think our Agency of Agriculture has helped us out a lot with that too.
Mm-hmm. Did so. You go to ACS in Burlington, or was that before you were
that
doing
was my first
that was your
ACS.
First
ACS
okay
yeah,
okay
that's the first one.
I think I heard that it can't come back to Burlington because Burlington's
too small,
but Providence is smaller, a city, but maybe not the convention center. Yeah,
I think it's the building.
And I remember there was a party here that was boiling hot
there. Oh was, yeah
yeah,
yeah. The cheese was melting off the tables. And it was 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I remember.
It was a heat wave. Another Vermont
incredible.
Heat wave.
That was unbelievable. That was in the coach barn.
Yeah. 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 That was very funny.
Yeah.
So that was your first one.
That was my first one.
So you're coming full circle. This is the next one you could drive to.
Yeah. And actually at that one I was working for a distributor. And the reason I got up here is that I drove a car full of fruit and vegetables up. To at the request of Allison Hooper up to the Festival of Cheese so they could adorn all the tables with this stuff. So that
I'm looking for volunteers for decorating tables for
well,
the Festival
we're gonna,
of Cheese.
We do have, we've told our staff about it, so we're hoping we can get some of them.
Great.
A couple of them are definitely going to be helping out.
Oh, good.
Set up for
good,
the festival.
Good. Yeah. The festival, well, both the judging and the festival are such major undertakings logistics wise that you don't realize until you're
in the back.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh my gosh, 1700 cheeses not marked, you know, with their names.
Yeah. Yeah, unreal.
Anyway, well, okay, it's been delightful to talk to you
okay,
on
Diane.
This sunny afternoon in Vermont.
Good seeing you.
I'll see you in Providence.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Alweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.